property's newly designed look. There was a design and show a couple of 3 weeks ago or so, and now they've taken all of those suggestions and ideas that were presented there and brought that back. So, John, if you'd like to come up and or your staff and come up and so give us a something along what we talked about this morning.
So this is the revised look on the property along Huntington. We try to take into account the feel of the community, and this is an 11,900 square foot building that would have immediate care. I think it's 6 rooms for immediate care and 10 or 11 rooms for primary care. So it's a combination of primary care and immediate care. It's envisioned to be open 7 days a week so that people can access it. We're excited about doing it as the when the zone change is completed, then it'll take about a year to build, and so the vision is that it would be open in fall of 2017, and so we're ready to move as quickly as we can get the land secured, and I know that that's part of the process of going through the zone change and all of that with you guys. And so again, now we're still kind of tweaking the inside. At some point we'll have that schematic design of the inside, but we wanted to kind of give a vision of what the outside would look like. It is being built so that there's the opportunity for about a 4,000 square foot expansion if that needs to occur. Probably have 2 to 3 primary care physicians, some immediate care physicians that would be coming in, some physician assistants. So it's kind of a team-based approach, and they would have primary care, immediate care. It would have radiology services. It would have lab services, and then space for specialists to come out. Again, I want to give the absolute assurance that the vision of this is to expand access to services. The current clinic is doing an awesome job. Our vision with a catchment area of over 25,000 people, if you look at Gilcrest and you look at Chemult and you look at Fort Rock and Christmas Valley and up to Crescent Lake and all of the, even down to Crosswater and Caldera, with 25,000 plus people and the current clinic's capacity to maybe serve 8,000 to 10,000, there's a huge gap there. And so we're currently working. We've tried to work a lot with the current clinic. We have our lab at the current clinic right now. We don't envision pulling that out. Again, it's the whole principle of this is expanding access to service, not trying to make it so anybody is not being driven out or anything like that. And so, you know, we'll continue to work with Charlotte and her team, because they're vitally important to the healthcare of not only Lapine but the surrounding communities. And we're working with them, St. Charles, Charlotte and their clinic, and Tammy Bainey and others I know are working on some of the transportation issues that the fire department and others have. So we're currently really trying to work collaboratively and in partnership. So this is what it looks like, and you know, as you guys go through your process, we're very eager to hear that final word that the zoning change has occurred, if you choose to do that.
Any questions, Councilor?
Just one. I told you I'd behave, but I can't help it. That red roof. I mean, I hope that's just this isn't final, is it?
Well, some people like the red roof. We wanted it to be a blue roof, but our understanding is that blue wasn't as popular a color as, I think it'll be more of a rust color.
Okay.
But, I can't.
The blue roof was already.
Well, she liked
red. Well, it looked like.
In the winter.
The minute I saw it, I thought, oh, the fire district's building another building.
I will say that when they had some other drawings this morning, I think you get a better feel for the sort of rusty color as it goes with the rock fronts and the rock wall across, and they softened the tones from the initial meeting, and it was a thumbs up from everybody this morning, probably 25 people. So
yeah.
So, but
we'll talk.
The roof is, I won't go as far as to say that there was a plan to put a blue roof on it and bring it down here and show it to our city manager, but I'll leave it at that.
I think it looks great. I appreciate that the meeting we had, and they took the input and went back, and I would have guessed we would have had the old version with a few different colors on it. When I left that meeting, and the architect was stunned, but that's part of this. And he went back, and you guys really, you changed it up a whole lot, and that is the kind of look that I think that people wanted.
Yep.
It looks sharp.
It does.
Yep. Is it safe to discuss around the idea of having a community meeting room in there? There in the insides, there's currently consideration being given to making space for a community meeting room on the corner, sort of behind the side. Yeah,
it would be right here.
Yeah.
And the vision of that is that it would have its own. There would be an entrance. Like right over in here, and part of the clinic and after hours would be blocked off, so you could get to the restrooms, and you could have a community room that would probably hold about 20 people. Really, who we modeled it after was Mid-State, because there is a need for education classes, there's a need for health classes, and so we would do a very similar thing where people could they would sign out for, have a badge or whatever, where they would reserve the room. We would make sure who it was, but they could use it for a portion after hours. But yes, that's very, we've heard that that's very important. It will also have access to drug testing. It will be built so it could house occupational medicine and those sorts of things, because the other thing that we've heard quite a bit of is that people who are in the business where they're employing folks that have to have a drug test, that they're having to go all the way down to Bend to do that. So we're trying to build that, or we're facilities wise, we're building that into the process. So yeah, the community room and that.
Okay.
I'd like to know if you've done any kind of a traffic study with this. I work at the senior center,
yep.
And at certain times of the day, it takes 20 minutes to get out of the senior center parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to add to the traffic, unfortunately. And do not misunderstand me. Urgent care is something we need here, but we do need to do it right. So
right.
That the traffic doesn't split in there and make a bigger mess than what it already is starting to be.
Right.
I can respond to that as far as process. Shortly after this presentation, we'll talk about their initial application. So the process is first to get the entitlements for the land correct, so the zone designations and the current zoning correct. Then they will follow on with a partition application to separate the parcel into two parcels, presumably. Is what we're understanding. following that, there will be, or even in parallel with that, there will be a site plan application that will include traffic analyses. It will look at turn, you know, are turn lanes required in and out based on the estimated volume of the traffic generated by the facility. But it'll also look at the utilities and the infrastructure, where the access is located, where the sidewalks are. It looks at all those details. So that will be forthcoming. It's just premature right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Anything else?
No. Okay. I think it's exciting. I'll be glad when it starts. Yeah.
Okay, so we can conclude with this at this point in time, and then we'll be going into the zoning quasi-judicial piece that we have on the agenda following this. So.
Okay.
You want to stay for that? Why?
It involves your property.
Sure. <Yeah. laughs> Sure,
we'll stay.
Okay.
All right, so moving into that item, if you're ready for
me. Yes, please.
As I mentioned, they're in their first stage of the land use entitlements for the property. This is falling under a quasi-judicial process because it relates to that single property, which means the application goes to Planning Commission, and Planning Commission holds a hearing, which they did last week, April 20th. They approved that application unanimously. And then it comes to council for adoption by ordinance, but there is not a hearing unless council calls it up for a hearing because of its quasi-judicial nature. So wanted to present it to you so you know what you're voting on May 18th for the application. Know that the Planning Commission has reviewed it and has approved it, but it will come to you next. So to point out the property that is in discussion, first of all, back up a little bit. The application that was received by the city from St. Charles is to change the comp plan designation. Right now the comp plan, the map that we were looking at earlier in the evening, designates this is a county-owned parcel as public facilities. It's 5.6 acres, designated as public facilities. The request from St. Charles is to change that comp plan designation to commercial mixed use, so CMX, the entirety of the parcel, 5.6 acres. This is the parcel. It's north of Memorial and west of Huntington. It's just slightly south or across the entrance from the Crest Creek neighborhood. This is the request to amend the comp plan designation to CMX. We can go through review criteria later, or if you want to dig into them now, but just know that it has gone through a very rigorous 30-plus page document and staff report on addressing all of these state criteria, local criteria.
Basically, this is the same kind of process that the others had that we looked at earlier.
This would be the same sort of process of an individual property owner came in to request a change in their zoning designation and existing zoning. The previous process was a legislative process that was brought up by the city, but this is if an individual parcel owner did, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll just touch on a few comp plan notes in there. I've got 10 slides of these. We don't have to go through all of them, but I just want to represent that the comp plan was outlining the need for facilities such as this. Right in the introduction, it talks about local values and citizens wanting to maintain a small town feel, but not relying on all the communities around it to provide the services. Highlighted in yellow, it talks about wanting more amenities for everyday needs. These include better access to healthcare, hospital, increased employment opportunities, and it goes on. Also in an introduction, it lists top 10 list of things that are wanted. It continues on the next page, but I just highlighted this one. Number two is a community health center with emergency facilities. And this isn't necessarily a 24-hour, but it indicates the intent of the desire to have a community medical facility. This talks about the process that they're going through. We don't need to jump into that. But I don't need to scroll through these anymore, but the intent was just to show that the intent of the comp plan was to reference that this is something the community needs. Their application was very thorough, many pages long, included a traffic planning rule analysis to demonstrate whether certain levels of traffic analyses were required as part of the rezone. And as I mentioned, after this process, they would go through all of the other site development processes. The first step would be to accept the comp plan amendment request to get it designated on the comp plan as this commercial mixed-use zone. Then when you do your legislative rezone, adopting the comp plan zoning, that will already have been adopted, and you're adopting that then into their existing zoning. So they could then continue forward with the site development. I can get into a lot more details if you want to, but I'll wait to see what kind of questions you have to dig into it more.
Kathy? Karen? Stu?
I think, you know, we went through all the stuff earlier at our other session, so I'm fine with it.
Okay. Me too.
So they'll have that on 15th, will be
18th.
They'll have their hearing.
Okay.
Actually, it won't be a hearing. It'll just come to you for adoption.
Yeah.
It'll be adoption by ordinance because it is a comp plan change.
Right. Okay.
So they're not taking any public testimony. They just
right. Okay. Then we'll go to the next one.
Yeah, we have one other quasi-judicial application. Corey, do you want to say anything, or do you just jump into that?
You can go ahead.
Okay. Well, the city received a conditional use application for the property at 16481 Bluewood Place. The conditional use process is also a quasi-judicial process, which means it is submitted to the city and sent to Planning Commission for review and approval after a public hearing. Unless council chooses to call it up for a public hearing at council meeting, it then comes to just for approval of Planning Commission's recommendation. That application was a conditional use permit for the processing of cannabis edibles. And I'll read their introductory sentence. Proposed use for the property is a recreational cannabis processing facility which will manufacture consumer products including infused oils, extracts, tinctures, and capsules. This is a proposal, like I said, for 16481 Bluewood Place. It's currently zoned traditional commercial. The Planning Commission reviewed the applicable criteria, which include various process criteria, but then also the allowed uses within the traditional commercial zone. And within the traditional commercial zone is, I'll pull up the exact wording for you. Is a conditional use that allows any use that emits fumes or noxious odors such as paint booths, refinishing, sandblasting, food processing, animal processing, tanneries, composting, and the like. So it was justified as a use under that, as an edibles processing facility. There are a lot of details that were included by the applicant, talking about the equipment to reduce the odors, the minimal amount of traffic, deliveries to the site are in the first 6 months are anticipated 2 to 3 deliveries, and then initiated deliveries, meaning originating, 3 to 5 each week. And then it grows a little bit over the next few years, but not significantly, so it's not a traffic impact. Talks about the various fume hoods that are used, commercial kitchen equipment, very similar to uses in a commercial kitchen for processing other edibles. I can go into more details again with specific questions, but I don't want to read their entire document until I know what specific questions you might have. But it, like I said, it was approved, again, the Planning Commission unanimously under that conditional use permit for the processing facility.
If I could add real quick as well, under the public notice and comments section of the staff report on page 2, it does say the City of Lapine sent notices of the April 20th, 2016 public hearing before the Planning Commission to property owners within 100 feet of the subject property. The public hearing notice was posted in the regular public locations and posted on the city's website. The notice was sent to local papers, Wise Buys, Frontier Advertiser, on March 31st for publication during the week of April 5th, 2016. Notice of final decision will be sent to property owners within 100 feet of the subject property. to my understanding, we did not receive any written comments, and we did not receive any public testimony last week at the public hearing.
There was some public testimony. One person who attends the gym in the same neighborhood was concerned the traffic would be impacted. It was assured there was plenty of traffic at the rear of the particular parcel, so traffic, but parking would not be encroaching into the gym's property. Other than that, no, there were no other documented either public testimony or written comments received by the city.
Rick received one phone call, I believe, from a property owner on Bluewood Place, clarifying and inquiring whether this process included retail sales, but he expressed to them that this does not include the retail sales of marijuana, so no marijuana products would leave that property in someone's hand as a retail transaction. It would all be what you call traded sector, where it is packaged and shipped to other locations. The other thing I will add is that I did receive a letter from someone who was in attendance at the Planning Commission meeting last week, but the letter was submitted after the public hearing had closed. And so we were advised to not share that letter with the council because that would be ex parte communication. That was not submitted through the formal process. So I want to let you know that that was submitted. But
although I will expand, she did comment. Sure. She was another public testimony at the Planning Commission meeting. Her testimony did not relate directly to the applicable criteria, which is what the Planning Commission is required to review the application on, is the specific criteria. But her points were that she was concerned about the perception that it would create for the city if there was to be processing allowed in general. Again, it was a broad comment that wasn't related to the criteria, but that was her general feeling on that. The application also noted that no signs will be posted. They'd like to be anonymous in town, so no signs, no branding. Just quietly move in and do their processing business. And only small lots of material would be brought into the facility at the time. Also, I think important to note is the treatment of the waste. I will read what they are saying, because this is what we have to base our decisions on. Water will not be used in the manufacturing process except incidentally for employee restroom break usage. All recovered solvents, chemicals, and other liquid waste generated in the manufacturing process will be safely stored on site and disposed of on a monthly basis using a licensed professional chemical waste disposal service. All solid waste products containing cannabis plant material will be ground and mixed with other organic compostable waste products such as dirt, paper, cardboard, food waste, yard waste in order to render it unusable and unrecognizable as cannabis. This mixture will be taken to an off-site composting facility and deposited there. So their point being that they will not be impacting the city's infrastructure with their proposed use. Again, they note that the exterior of the facility will be appropriately maintained, but the applicant will not make any substantial changes that will alter the appearance of the building or the neighborhood. To reduce potential security risks, the applicant will not install signage or advertising alerting the public as to the presence of a cannabis processing facility on the property. Corey, is there anything else you recall from the Planning Commission you think we should fill them in on?
Not that I can think of, no.
Anything?
No, I guess the question I had is for the waste, that sometimes we don't know what it's going to be until years after the company's operating, so how that's disposed of and any repercussions that it may have for the city, I don't know.
Along that line, though, isn't this a conditional use?
Yes, this is a conditional use,
and it's continuing conditional use.
Absolutely,
right?
Okay. It has very specific conditions attached to it. So when you read that report, in fact, we can go through those now too. I know you've read them, page to page.
Yeah.
But we can. In fact, I will pull those up right now. The conditions of approval that were approved by Planning Commission.
I'll read them in entirety. Number one, approval is based upon the application information submitted by the applicant. Any substantial change to the application beyond requested changes in these conditions will require modification of approval. Number two, upon building permit application, any construction plans that include all proposed and or required public improvements, water, sewer service connections, site grading and drainage, and utilities shall be submitted to the city for review and approval prior to construction. Continuing conditions of approval include: the proposed use shall not exceed resource or public facility carrying capacities, including but not limited to transportation, water, sewer, and utility systems. B, the site shall contain no storage of junk, waste, discarded or salvaged material, machinery, or equipment, except within a completely enclosed structure. C, addresses landscaping, maintenance. D, stormwater retention. If any site development is proposed, applicant shall submit a site plan application detailing all the required approval criteria. That would also include building code requirements, fire marshal approvals, and inspections. Applicant must maintain all required state permits and licenses, and applicant shall maintain a current business license. There are several general criteria for conditional use approvals as well, and that includes meeting all state, local, state, and federal requirements, whether they be outlined in that criteria or not, but all state requirements have to be met as well. OLCC has several, I think, pages and pages of rules that they would have to meet before even opening up shop.
Anything, Karen? Anything, Stu?
My big question was going to be the disposal, and what they have in this is word for word what our state requires. I contacted our state association probably a year ago and asked what is the disposal requirements, because we're going to wind up handling it. And they explained that the requirements is exactly what she just read off, grinding it and mixing it and taking it to a compost facility. And that's the way the state requires it to be done. So
where are they going to do this at? Are they going to do it inside the building?
Inside. Inside.
So they're going to have a composting facility inside where they're making these edibles.
They would have a, and I don't know how it's laid out. I haven't seen building layouts, but presumably from the way it's written, they would have some holding area within the facility to hold that waste, and then it would be picked up and taken to a composting facility.
From what I, it has to be in a separate room.
They'll probably wall it off or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it would be removed from the site to take. To be taken somewhere else.
You know, we went to a lot of effort to cite, the marijuana, medical marijuana shops, you know, in certain distances from this, that, and the other, and that's all laid out and everything. And then we went to a great deal of effort to get to a point where we recognized that. That grow operations can be handled in the industrial area. This is a business, a maybe even called a traded sector business. Why aren't they in the industrial area?
It's a fair question, and they could be in the industrial area. The code would allow it. It's right now the code is silent on calling out specific marijuana manufacturing or processing. It's because we haven't had to deal with that issue in the past, so it's a new issue. Because the code is silent on it right now, the request by the applicant was to analyze it based on the code as it is, and under that conditional use criteria, allowing those food processing or edibles processing that is outlined in the code currently. And it falls upon the applicable criteria to review it by. They could have submitted an application for the industrial district, and it could have fallen in there as well, but they chose to apply for the commercial district. You are correct. The city does not have specific criteria
for recreational marijuana manufacturing at this time. So there were no specific criteria to apply to that.
Well, I think that was my question. We went to all this great effort in the other areas. Would it be in our benefit to move that to a, I mean, the only thing we could do now to establish some criteria would have to leave that in place, but all future facilities like that would could be forced into the industrial park.
We'd have to, you know, again, we're kind of maxed out staff and time. You know, this is, goes back to, it sounds like the third time I've said it today, is that, that this is just our, we cannot, this is an evolving thing, and, you know, we would literally, what you've done tonight, we'd be doing this monthly, because it's just, it's moving. Does that mean that in 6 months or a year, it's something we need to look at if there's a problem? Yeah, the fact is our current code allows processing, as they can be a bake, they can bake cookies, and not all bakeries are in industrial parks. And they happen to be baking, they're using an ingredient, which is probably not even 5% of the ingredient. I mean, it's flour and butter and salt and pepper and all the other things that go into something, and they sprinkle it with some marijuana. It's just, you know, we, in our codes, it just doesn't say you can't do that, and they've applied, and so the question before you is that, you know, is it something we can put on when we do time, place, and manner in the next 6 months that, that Jeremy and them are gonna work on, which, you know, that's one of the things coming in probably August, September, is time, place, and manner things. So, you know, you could have it distances from something or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, so you can develop them.
Yeah.
The city just doesn't have it at this time.
And I mean, I think just wait and see if there's any, too, at this point. You'll see. It's, I mean, it's all indoors. It's all, it's sold. It's like, you know, a truck will back up, drive down the road, and off it'll go, and you won't even know what's in it. I mean, yeah.
But so, they could show up in any, actually any commercial mixed use, or, I mean, right? I mean, we could have five of those in town.
You could.
Yeah. Traditional commercial, any other applicant could apply under traditional commercial. Mixed use commercial, I, at quick glance, there is not a use that I would see that would jump out as something that somebody could apply under. I think it would be strictly the traditional commercial or the industrial. Yes, if the city chose to implement specific time, place, and manner requirements, the city can absolutely do that and enforce it. You cannot enforce it retroactively,
right,
but going forward, yes.
Is this related to recreational or medical?
No, it doesn't. Actually, in that sense, it doesn't matter, because remember, they're baking it, and it's leaving, and it's going to go to...
My understanding is it's recreational. They're applying for a conditional use because what they need from the city is they need us to sign off on a land use compatibility statement. And without that, they cannot apply to OLCC for their associated marijuana license. Now, they need to apply for a specific license if they're doing retail. Well, no one's doing that until after the vote in November, pending which way that goes. And they also need to do that for growing and for processing. And so we're going to get folks, this happens to be the first one, who has come and said, we need you to sign off on this form. And we inform them that, well, the property you're looking at, we can't do that. It's a conditional use. You have to go through this process, and that's where we find ourselves today.
And so what we see in front of us is actually something that's approved to do by the Planning Commission.
The Planning Commission has approved this application, yes. It will come to you, though, for final approval.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay. We will move on to... item number 10 is discussion with Janet Burton on expansion of the Deschutes County Rural Enterprise Zone. Welcome, Janet.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor Mullenix and City Councilors. There is a proposal to expand the Deschutes County Rural Enterprise Zone to include Sun River Business Park and Spring River Plaza. The current enterprise zone, the current Deschutes County Rural Enterprise Zone, was first designated in April of 2008, and that includes the city of Lapine and Bend Airport. That's a kind of strange configuration, but at that time the state of Oregon limited the number of enterprise zones, and that's why you have that kind of odd configuration. Now the state does not limit the number of enterprise zones. The real purpose of an enterprise zone is really to help create incentives to bring in living wage jobs and to attract traded sector companies to an area. So, last year there were discussions with Sun River Business Park owners that there is land in the business park that's zoned commercial industrial and also on Spring River Plaza. It's not a lot of land. However, you know, tenancies change, ownership changes of land, and the Sun River Chamber of Commerce was also interested in looking at, you know, why could we not be included in the rural enterprise zone to try to attract year-round businesses to South County and to Sun River area. The reason it's before, we're talking about it tonight is that the zone has two sponsors, Deschutes County and City of Lapine. They're both sponsors. Both sponsors have to sign off on a resolution to include Sun River Business Park and Spring River Plaza. We've had a number of pub meetings. All the taxing districts were sent out notification of a public meeting that was held in Sun River Library on April 5th. And there were about 30, 35 people that turned up at that meeting, so quite a good turnout for the meeting. There were some concerns when people didn't understand what an enterprise zone was. There were concerns, were we proposing bringing in heavy manufacturing to the business park, which wouldn't fit in with the character and nature. But I think once people understood, we weren't changing any of the businesses that were permitted in the business park or in Spring River Plaza. Nothing was changing with zoning. It only provided that economic incentive for traded sector companies that met the criteria. Commissioner DeBone and I had a meeting with the Lapine Rural Fire District on April 14th, and we met with the board there and kind of went through in more detail what the enterprise zone was, what are the impacts of the tax abatements to taxing districts, and we also met with the Special Roads District number 1, which covers Spring River Plaza, on April 20th, and we received a letter the other day from the Special Roads District in support of the boundary expansion. Chief Supkus will be submitting a letter as well. He is supportive of the concept of the enterprise zone. He just has concern that if businesses come in, that it doesn't put more of a burden on